My name is Josh Peck, host of Peck Report on Daily Renegade. I used to suffer with chronic pain from a degenerative bone disease. I was hopelessly addicted to opioids without any end in sight. But then I discovered Kratom and CBD. I am no longer on prescription drugs and I have more energy and pain relief than ever before. Kratom and CBD have given me my life back without draining my bank account. If you too would like some minor to major pain relief, Kratom and CBD might be for you. Either click on the links in the description below this video or go to dailyrenegade.com on the top left banner or right side ad and check out Tropic Health Kratom and CBD. Use promo code HEALTH20 for 20% off your order and get your life back today. Experts are saying Nephilim human-animal hybrids might have human rights. What do we think about that as Christians? Also, for Christians, what are some rational arguments for the existence of God? Apologetics is always a good thing to get into, and we are going to be talking about that today. All that and more on today's Peck Report. Hello, everybody. Hope you are doing well today. We've got a couple of interesting topics for you. Hope your week has been going well. So there has been a new article that came out on News Hub about the possibility of human-animal hybrids possibly having human rights. And, you know, that brings up an interesting question, because what is the appropriate percentage of human that would require somebody for human rights? And we might, our knee-jerk reaction might be to say 100%. It must be 100% human. But what if we know that there's experiments being done in, say, China and stuff, and other countries, where they inject a little bit of animal DNA into a human. And for all intents and purposes, that person is still a human being. They still have a soul. So should they be able to have human rights? I mean, in that case, we would probably say yes, because I know for me, I'd rather take a chance than, you know, I would rather err on the side of caution. So it kind of goes back to this whole philosophical issue of how do we know that the people around us are actually real, that they have real human souls and they're not just a projection of our own minds. You know, we as Christians, spiritually know that, but from a philosophical standpoint, you can't really prove it. You can't reason and prove that. So how do we know when, you know, an animal human hybrid is born, how do we know if it has a human soul or not? There's really no way to test for that. So these are important questions that are going to be coming up. Well, they're here now, but they're going to be really ramping up in the next few years because these experimentations are going on. There are designer babies now, and, you know, those don't necessarily have anything to do with animal genetics, but that's just the next step. So, you know, where do we draw the line between human rights and something else entirely separate from human? How do we parse that? It's a good question, and one that is difficult to answer. It's just simply not good enough to say, well, they have to be 100% human, because there's all sorts of gray area. You know, if somebody is given the organ of an animal just so they can survive, you hear stories about pig hearts and stuff like that. How is that any different than somebody who has animal genetics? It's still a piece of an animal. But I would suspect that on the genetic level, it's different. And if genetically somebody isn't human, then maybe it's something else. But that's still just biology. I mean, how do we know the soul is any different? How can we possibly test for that? So on one hand, it seems like it would be wise to err on the side of caution and say that they should have, human rights just like me or you, so they're not abused or anything, just, you know, in case they do have a human soul, which they likely do. But then, on the other hand, what if, you know, what if in the future creatures are created, you know, and literal animal-human hybrids that aren't human at all, and they're more akin to the Nephilim of Genesis 6. And the reason that we talk about Nephilim, especially with things like animal-human hybrids, it's not so much from the book of Genesis, because that was, you know, that talks about angels mating with mankind, so that's an angelic mankind hybrid. But the animal-human hybrid comes from, you know, a certain interpretation of some passages from the books of, you know, Jubilees, Enoch, Jasher, where it seems like, it says that the angels also sinned against animals, and that, you know, possibly certain animals were crossed with each other, and possibly even animal-human hybrids, that they sinned against the animals as well. So are we seeing a return to that? So This story comes from News Hub, and it brings up a really interesting question. And I would like to know what you think. Leave me a comment in the comment section below. But it says that experts say it's probably only a matter of time before technology lets monkeys qualify as legal humans. So there's a new article for the journal Science. It says that a pair of biomedical law experts say recent advances are beginning to blur legal distinctions between human beings and other living organisms, between living human beings and dead ones, and between human tissues and cells and non-human ones. I mean, you think about it, in our culture, an unborn baby is not even considered human, is not afforded human rights, yet many want to push for the hybrids to have human rights. And again, it depends on the argument. I don't know that I could really be totally against that, because how do we know that just because a biological body has, you know, animal genetics in it, how do we know that automatically means a human soul isn't in there? You know, it's a really difficult theological question to answer, and I don't know if there's a clear answer to it. So that's why it's always good to look at both sides of the argument. You know, what's the worst case scenario for both sides? You know, so we have to look at that. Bartha Knoppers of the University of Montreal and Henry Greeley of Stanford University say new practices like mixing human and non-human cells and grafting human organs and tissue into human, as well as new gene editing technologies like CRISPR, mean it's time to redefine what a human actually is. Now, the redefinition of human is obviously a problem. In a perfect world, these experiments would not exist. We wouldn't be messing with this, and humans would just be humans. But because these experiments are going on, and they're going to continue to go on, we now have to ask these really deep philosophical and theological questions. What constitutes a human being? Is it more than just biology? And if so, how do we quantify that? How do we test for that? So it's really difficult. But, you know, like I said before, the solution to this would be to just not conduct these experiments. But they are going to continue, and we do have to wrestle with these difficult questions, because this is the future that lies right before us. So it continues. This is a direct quote from Knoppers. Says, quote, against this movable feast of human rights and biological developments, do the classical legal boundaries still matter? And if so, why? Altering the legal meaning of human ultimately affects the foundation for all human rights. End quote. Now, writing for sitephys.org, science journalist Bob Yurka gave the example of a monkey implanted with human organs. Quote, can it be argued that a monkey has the same legal rights as a human being if all of its organs, except perhaps its brain, have come from a human being? End quote. And that's why this question goes beyond just biology. You know, we would probably say, well, that is still a monkey. That doesn't mean that it has a human soul. And you know, the whole idea of human rights, I think it goes beyond just the biological species of human. I mean, it certainly includes that, but I believe you have to have the human soul component in there as well. So even if, you know, let's say you were able to transplant a monkey brain into a human body, and that, let's say that body was dead, the body that, you know, was a human being, the soul has left long ago and they preserved it, and let's say they were able to put a monkey brain in there, that's still a monkey, right? I mean, it would still have to be. So you would think it would not be afforded human rights status. So you would, but what if what if the genetics themselves are hybridized? You know, it's not just picking and choosing and replacing body organs. You know, it's sort of like that old question, that old philosophical question of you know, the new ship. If you have an old ship, you know, and you replace each board one at a time, and eventually you get to the point where every board in the ship, every single piece of the ship has been replaced over the course of, say, decades. What you're left with, is that a new ship or is it still the same old ship? And if it is a new ship, at what point did it become a new ship? At one point, was it no longer the old ship and it became the new ship? You know, certainly if you just replace one board, it's still the same old ship. But if it only has one board from the former old ship and everything else is new, is that the line? So that's been an ongoing philosophical question. It's really difficult to answer. It's sort of the same here. If you replace every organ, you know, between a monkey and a man, then at what point do the species actually cross? Or is it deeper? Is it more genetics? And if it is genetics, then what percentage of monkey to human genetics is the tipping point? So that's the question, and there are a lot of opinions about it. And of course, like I said, I would like to know what you think. And, you know, leave me a comment in the comment below and tell me why you think the way that you do, if you have an opinion about it. So it says, or if a human's genome was edited into something that may not exist in nature, would they still be human according to the law? So 2 years ago, scientists in the U.S. created the world's first human-animal hybrids using gene editing technology called CRISPR. They added human genetic material to the pig embryo's muscles, but not the brain. They were destroyed after 4 weeks of gestation. So was that a human rights violation? You know, that's the question. There was some human genetic material, but does that mean that they're human? You know, our instinct is to say, you know, no, they were pigs. They were pigs that had something done to them. That's kind of our instinct. But how would we really logically explain that? And I do think that instinct is correct. But again, how do we really explain that? At what point do human rights exist and not exist when it comes to genetics? So here's a quote from Knoppers and Greeley, quote, the creation of chimeric embryos by introducing human stem cells to animal embryos often falls between the gaps of the relevant human and animal legislation. End quote. And they said this, suggesting that adding the word substantially to legal definitions of what constitutes a human. However, substantially is subjective, isn't it? What's substantial to you may not be substantial to me. So there's an issue there. They also write, quote, rules that include the word substantially are never fully satisfying. Nevertheless, in a universe where things blend into each other and living organisms are not cleanly divided into platonic natural kinds, they may be the best filter we can apply, end quote. And again, it's not that we live in a universe where things blend into, we are the ones doing that. The universe itself, there are clear categories of separation. You know, that's even talked about in the Bible, that God created all the animals after their own kind. You know, there aren't mixing and things like that. You're not going to get a cow to breed with a dog. You know, you can have different types of cows breed with one another, but they're still cows. So the only reason this is even happening is because we are going against nature and causing it to happen. And so obviously the solution would be to not do that. It says the pigs in the 2017 research were only 0.01% human, so probably wouldn't qualify. But again, where is the percentage? But the pair say it's only a matter of time before a chimera's status is challenged in court. And then you can find the full article on the Science website. But yeah, again, that does bring up a good question, because it's absolutely correct. It is only a matter of time when this is going to be brought up in court, and the law is going to have to be interpreted one way or another. Do chimeras qualify for human rights or not? And again, the court isn't going to look at something like the human soul. They'll probably look at biology. They'll probably determine what percentage a person needs to be human, or they'll just say anything goes. Even if you have a little bit of human in you, then you qualify for those rights. So what way could this be abused? Well, we live in a culture where where we are increasingly saying that everything is a human right. Free education is a human right, a fundamental human right. Free healthcare is a fundamental human right. And it's not. Those aren't our human rights. If you want to know where our rights are, you can look at the Bill of Rights. And at least in this country, that's how they're defined. And our rights are given to us by God. We don't have a right to other people's services. So I would love to live in a culture where healthcare was free, you know, but it depends on what the cost is. If the cost is that now you're going to have hospitals go out of business because they can't afford to keep running, or if the cost is you're forcing somebody else to provide their service, that is a violation of their rights. So that's not good. You know, that's not good. And there's got to be other ways to come up with it where other people aren't having to forfeit their rights for the benefit of somebody else. So that's what we have to look at. But we live in a culture where everything is being claimed that it's a human right. I mean, literally everything. You know, the government should pay off my student loans. It's a human right, free education. It's not a human right. That is a service that you're paying for, and you don't have to pay for it. You don't have to go to college. You can go to a trade school. You can get a job without going to college at all. I did that. I went to one semester. It was either half a semester or one semester of college. It was a Christian college, and I immediately dropped out. It wasn't for me, and I'm a Christian. But this place, man, let me tell you, that was so totalitarian. I mean, Well, that's another story. But I dropped out immediately, never went back. I didn't go to any other schools, didn't go to trade school, didn't go to college. And everything that I know how to do, I learned on my own. And you can do that. I mean, especially we live in the information age. Anything you want to know how to do, unless you want to be like a doctor or something, but anything that you want to know how to do, you can look up online and learn how to do it. So, you know, I edit video for Skywatch TV. I didn't know anything about television production, but I learned it on my own. And, you know, not trying to toot my own horn or anything, but I'm a really good editor. You know, I'm a good editor, and I know how to film things correctly, you know, all of that stuff. But it's just because I learned it from professionals who put up, you know, tutorials and courses and things online. You can go to YouTube and just do that with almost any trade. You know, we live in an age where you don't have to go to college. So if you enter into an agreement where a school is going to provide you education for a certain cost, you're voluntarily entering in that agreement. So you do have to pay it back. I mean, if we're going to give free education, why not free cars? You know, I have a car that I'm paying off that I would like to. Why not free homes? You know, why don't we expect the government to just take care of our mortgage? So we live in a culture where everything is deemed a human right. Because of that, circling back to the hybrid thing, because of that, it's likely that human rights are going to be afforded to animals. And in a lot of ways, animals have more rights than humans do in a lot of different ways. I mean, all the regulation, especially if you compare them against the unborn, unborn humans have no rights whatsoever. And we definitely treat our animals better than our helpless, innocent, unborn babies. So I think probably whatever the most ridiculous scenario is, that's probably going to be the one that ends up happening in the courts. So most likely what will happen is animals, even if they have a little bit, just even 0.01% of human DNA, they will be afforded human rights, yet the unborn human babies still won't. That's just the way this culture is headed. What I think. I hope I'm wrong. I pray to God I'm wrong on that. But again, I want to know what you think. What are some good arguments for and against giving chimeras, human rights? And again, the one sticking point for me where I could be in favor of it is in a chimera. Let's say it's perfectly 50% human, just in the genetics. Let's say they look human, but let's say in their genetics they're 50% human, 50% chimpanzee or something, but they look totally human, they act totally human, they seem like they really have a human soul in there. How would we argue against giving that being, that let's just say person, for lack of a better word, human rights? Because if they're not given human rights, then they're going to be tortured and suffer, you know, in a lot of different ways. I mean, think about it. Anybody could do anything to that thing, and that person, that thing, you know, person, whatever, has no human rights, so they can't do really anything with the law to protect themselves against any kind of abuses or experimentation. And that to me is a scary thought, because if by chance, if we're wrong about the genetic thing, and if there is a human soul in there, I don't know the percentage of human genetics that God will work with. You know, if there is a human soul in there, we don't want that person to be subjected to torture and suffering and all sorts of things, you know? Part of the arguments from Christianity, some Christians would say, well, you know, they're not eligible for salvation anyway because they're not totally human. And that, to me, I don't love that argument, because it rings too closely. It's too close to the same. It's basically the same argument that that when America was discovered, or when Europeans started exploring the world, that reason was given to not teach, you know, like Africans or Native Americans, to some, not to all, but you know, to some European, that excuse was given to not try to reach them with the gospel. These other people of different colors were seen as less than human or not human at all. And because of that, they endured a lot of injustice. And they had to fight really hard to get their, you know, get their human rights. Could this be something like the same thing? You know, if something is technically genetically 50% human, does that mean that they're not human? Because again, you got to look at the spiritual side, and that is a difficult question to answer. I probably would want to err on the side of caution. I would probably say, you know, if there's some human in there, then if there's any question, then they need their rights. Now, if it's obviously a pig who has, you know, and this pig has 0.01 human genetics, but the thing still acts like a pig, it still looks like a pig, still does all the pig things that pigs do, and there's no indication that there's any kind of soul in a human soul in there, then I would say, you know, why probably not give that human rights. But if there's any question, I would say err on the side of caution. But again, it's tricky, and there's a lot of different angles to look at this. And I'm sure there's a lot of points that all of you could bring up that I haven't considered. So I want to know what you think. That's where I'm at on it right now. But I want to know what you think. Please leave me a comment in the comment section below. Okay, we got to talk about some rational arguments for God. It's been kind of a while since we got into some apologetics, so I'm glad to do this because, you know, again, like I've said before, I'm here to serve you. I want all of us to grow and learn together, and so you know, we should deal with apologetics from time to time, because we're going to run into atheists who are going to say that Christianity is irrational. And what are we going to tell them? It's got to be more than just the subjective feeling that we get when, you know, we pray or when we give our lives to Christ, because they could say they get a good feeling from knowing there is no God. I'm going to actually give you 10 reasons. I think that's what this is. No, it's not. Okay, the 10 reasons is for fasting, and we're doing that either tomorrow, or we did that yesterday, depending on when these air. I record these ahead of time, so I don't always know. But there are going to be several reasons that we're going to look at. So before we do, though, I've got to tell you about a couple of things. I used to be a chronic pain sufferer, but no longer. Coastline Kratom, and also Tropic Health. Tropic Health is great. We have that also at DailyRenegade.com. Tropic Health provides kratom and CBD, and they take credit cards, which is great. The downside to Coastline Kratom, while they're both great kratom companies, Coastline Kratom does not accept credit cards or debit cards or anything like that. You got to set up a Zelle Pay account, which is still okay. It only takes a second to do. But you can find all of that stuff at DailyRenegade.com. Also, Tropic Health has CBD, but we also support CBD Pure and CBD Pets. So we want to give you guys at least a couple different options that we here, or I should say, I don't want to speak for the other hosts, but that I personally, because I take this stuff all the time, that I personally recommend. I want to give you a couple different options because I've had Kratom from certain companies where it hasn't worked great for me, but other people say it works great for them. Same with CBD. So, you know, it kind of depends on the person. So I was able to find two Well, technically three, but I was able to find two sources, three sources altogether. one source has kratom and CBD, which is Tropic Health. One source is just kratom, which is Coastline. One source is just CBD, which is CBD Pure. But I was able to find these products that I recommend. I think that they will work for you. And if one doesn't work, you can try the other, or you know get an order of both, and you can try them out, see what works best for you. Because I think it's good to have a choice. But I personally endorse all of it. I what we have at Daily Renegade. In my opinion, the best of the best. So you can go check that out. Also, if you use the promo code HEALTH20 at Tropic Health, you can get 20% off your order. So that's a good deal. Also, if you're into colloidal silver, I believe we have that on our website. Certainly have an ad for it right here. And you can probably find the link to it in the description below. But you know what? Actually, let me do this. I'm gonna screen share and show you our Daily Renegade website so you can see where this stuff is. Okay, so here's our website right here. This is Tropic Health right here, top left corner, really easy to find. Right next to it is Silver of Life, colloidal silver. Especially with this coronavirus going on, a lot of people are buying colloidal silver, so you can get some of that there, which is, you know, it's great. I've heard a lot of positivity about it. You know, immune boosting type of things. You can also clean with it, which is nice. And then right here next to that is Coastline Kratom. So all of that is on the top bar, or you can scroll down a little bit and you can write down here CBD and Kratom. This is Tropic Health as well on the right-hand side of the website. So that's where you can find that. Also, while you're here, you should become a Daily Renegade member. How do you do that? You just go over to here. Plans and pricing, click on that, and then you can choose your membership. It's either $10 a month or $100 a year. I say get the $100 a year because then you're saving money. You get 2 months for free, and you don't have to, you just pay once, you don't have to think about it for another year. I mean, that's a great deal, but this lists out everything that you get, and so you should get a membership at dailyrenegade.com if you have not already. Now, if you have gotten a membership, hang on the line because we're going to talk about some rational arguments for God's existence. We are going to call this good for YouTube and Facebook. So if you're joining us on YouTube and Facebook, thank you so much for joining us. Make sure to subscribe, click the bell for notifications, and come and join us next time. So members, hang on the line. Everybody else, thank you so much for joining us. Please be a member at dailyrenegade.com. And until next time, take care.